Is the source of all my strength, all I am, ever was, or could ever hope to be. I would just like to say good morning to all of you. And to let you know what indeed an honor, a pleasure, and a privilege it is for me to have the opportunity to stand before you. This is, I've been coming here for a few years. Yeah, and as the voice of the late, great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., for at least the last 5 to 7 years, this is where I begin the journey every year. And so I just want to say thank you for the hospitality, for the love, for the warmth, for the home. It feels good. It feels comfortable. It feels right. I have to say some things because later I'll forget that I was supposed to say, and we do have a small table in the back. The t-shirts simply say peace, love, and positivity. There are a couple of CDs of Dr. King's speeches, including the one I'm going to do today. And then she talked about the home of Lee McCloskey. I have to get this stuff out of the way because later I will never remember it. On the table are a list of performances and places where I will be over the next couple of months in the event that you're interested in hearing more. On Sunday, January 20th, I will be at the Agape International Spiritual Center with Reverend Michael in the morning, and then that night, I do a special event called An Intimate Evening with Dr. King. And what I do on that evening is there's no agenda, there's no set program. I take questions, I take requests, and often people wonder how I got started doing this kind of work. And by this kind of work, I mean that since I was 17 years old, and I'm now 53, I've been presenting the words and works of the late, great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. around the world. The truth is, when I began that, I had no idea that all these years later, I would still be doing it. I felt like it would run its course, it would have its time. And as an actor, which is what I am, I thought it'll be good for a little while and then it'll fade and I'll move on to something else. I'm famously or infamously quoted in my college newspaper at Los Angeles City College when they asked, how long do you think you're gonna do this? And at that point I was 19 years old. And I said, I don't know, as long as people wanna hear it. And the writer finished the article by saying, that could be a very long time. I had no idea that in 2019, the words of the late, great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would be as significant and as poignant as they were in 1969. And he died in 68, and we were still echoing the memory. But truth is truth. I learned something in college. I studied philosophy. And they said there are some things that are what we call eternal truths. They are eternal laws. They do not change. They can change the law. They can change the speed limit. They can legalize marijuana. They can change how they feel about some things or another. But those eternal truths and eternal laws are never changing. That honestly provides a great deal of comfort for me in a world that always feels like it's changing and shifting. And this came out of my mouth the other day, but I heard it someplace else, so I don't take credit for it. But the truth is, always, shift happens. Every day, shift happens. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, whether you are aware of it or not, it's happening all around you and, probably this is the most important part, inside of you. And what an incredible gift by the Creator to give us this physical body, this earth suit, that is changing and shifting internally without any specific direction from us. We don't have to tell it what to do. We don't have to tell it to go to sleep or to breathe or to process air or oxygen or have the blood flow or the heart to beat. All of that stuff is happening whether we choose it or not. I could talk about my past, blah, blah, blah. The truth is I'm an actor and a voiceover artist. That's what I do for a living. But this is what I do for a life. And I'm so grateful that my life is funded by what I do for a living and that all of it is fun. I'm not doing a job if I don't like it. And I know that sounds foreign to some people, but if it ain't fun, I ain't doing it. And I get to choose. And I didn't always get to choose. There were times where I had to work for somebody else and do something for somebody else, but that was a means to an end and not the end itself. I knew that there was something more and better and greater and funner out there for me. So that became my quest. Which leads me to my top topic for today, which is look for the good. I'm going to say that again. Look for the good. Now, I know immediately when I say that, there are several camps that will emerge. There's part of you, the moment you hear the idea of look for the good, your initial response is, so are you saying that I am to ignore all of the things that are happening in the world and Donald Trump and poverty and a volatile stock market and the government shutdown and poverty and homelessness and drug addiction and prescription drug prices and the way we treat the elderly and the way we treat the poor and the way we treat minorities and the way we treat the LGBT community and the way we treat ourselves and personally, the person that I'm living with that's working on my last nerve, are you telling me to ignore all of that? That idea of working on my last nerve, my mom used to say that. We were kids, and you'd be asking, Ma, 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 and she would say, child, you are working on my last nerve. And then my brother would come in and he would be covered in dirt or blood from playing football or riding his bike or having a broken arm. And then my mom would look at me and say, you know that last nerve that you're working on? He's on top of that one waiting in line to get to my last other nerve. And then I would say, I thought that was your last nerve. How many last nerves do you have? And her response was, boy. And it's funny when your parents say that because they don't know what else to say. And that's true for us too. Sometimes we don't know what else to say. But I am not telling you to pretend like nothing else is going on. And here's why. I would like to tell you, just ignore it. Don't pay any attention to it. Don't give it your time and attention. But the truth is, that group of you that I'm talking about, you are not conditioned yet to be able to do that. You might like to, but there's something that's going on with you that prevents you from being able to do that. So rather than just tell you to do that, there are other things that you can do so that you can condition yourself to deal with the conditions that are around you. What's interesting in this practice is that there are tenets that we sometimes forget. One is study. It's like we can't just assume as an evolutionary species that things are going to take care of themselves without us doing some of the work ourselves. That means you've got to read something. You've got to learn something. You've got to quest for knowledge and information and take new information in as often as you can. Now, for some of us, that's every day. For some of us, that's once a month. For some of us, I'm going to read something once a year. It doesn't matter. Study. 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 This is a school. It's a university where we find ourselves, where our goal is to graduate, to get to something better. And you don't graduate without study and homework. And for us, home is here, so it's life work. Next is sacred service. And I want you to understand what I mean by that. That means you have to be of service to someone else at no material or energetic exchange for yourself. You are just giving for the sake of giving. It is a practice. It is a muscle. It is something that should and must be developed if you want to understand this teaching. Next is meditation. If you can't do it for an hour, you can do it for 30 seconds. And if you can do it for 30 seconds, you can do it for a minute. This chatter that goes on in our mind gets so loud that it's begging us to turn the volume down and off even for a minute, and it helps. Part of it too is high fellowship. Find other people who are like-minded and spend time in healthy, positive conversation. It will help you. And then there's worship, and you can come together and you can spend some time with one another. But remember these tenets: prayer, practice, study, sacred service, meditation, and high fellowship. When you get that part down in the process of looking for the good, then you can speak with conviction to yourself and be reminded that you have a mind. You are not your mind. That there is something enlivening and operating above this pseudo consciousness that you're existing in that is really in control of everything. And it happens in one of two ways. One, you can yield and give over to it. One, you can decide it's in charge and demand your mind to sit down and shut up. Be quiet. There's somebody else in charge right now, and I'm going to allow that to move in, as, around, and through me as my very life. It's interesting. We all know somebody who's had a stroke. And what happens with those people, you see them, and when they smile, you know that there's somebody inside of there. They may not be able to speak, but there's something in their eyes that lets you know unequivocally that there is life abundant within them, regardless of the situation or the circumstances that their physical body finds itself in. It's almost like we get to be like a small child and say to this mind and body, you need to get out the way because you're not the boss of me. There's somebody else in charge. And I get to be a co-creator with this spirit and energy that allows me to participate. I'm not a victim, and I'm not just along for the ride. I get to be an active participant in my own evolution. Thank God. I don't want somebody else to do it all for me. I want to take part. I want to participate. I don't want to just sit back and say, I'm not good enough, so I don't know. Anyway. Then there's another group, and they're in this room. When you say, look for the good, they go, well, I always look for the good. That's all I ever see. Everywhere I go, I see good. I see good. When I wake up in the morning, I'm good. You're good. We're good. We're all good. I have two things to say to those people. One, tell the truth and shame the devil. Stop lying. Because some of you, not all of you, some of us are paying lip service to one tenet or another, and we feel like we got it all together, so nothing that you do or say can affect me at all. And then we go home, and when we're by ourselves, we weep, we cry, we drink, we eat, we experience anxiety and depression. Because we're not dealing with the true part of us. We're pretending. And so today is not about pretending. It's about being. It's not about dying. It's about doing. It's about being who and what you really are. Look for the good. And then there's the rest of us. Those of us that don't fall into either of those categories, which is, I'm sure, most of us in here. And the truth is, when I give these talks, I'm only talking to myself. And my hope is that there's one person in the audience who identifies, who gets it. My suggestion, my request, let that one person today be you. Doesn't matter what the people around you get. Let that one person today be you. That you can see people when you tell them to look for the good, that all they can do is see the bad and the negative around them. You can see, conversely, on the other side, these people who are pretending with this Pollyanna smile that everything is just fine, but you can look right through them the same way you can look through a person who's had a stroke and know that there's somebody there. You can look through this person who is smiling and know that they're hurting on the inside. The beauty is, doesn't matter which category you fall into, you can participate. You can do something about it. You can look for the good. So the question, regardless of which group you're in, is, well, how do I look for the good? How do I do that? And here's the short answers. First, it begins with me. I don't need to look outside of myself. I don't need to look outside of my house. I don't need to look outside of my being to find the good. My job, particularly in this teaching, is to go within. And if you're having a hard time finding the good, as an exercise, I would encourage you just to close your eyes for a moment and think of a time when you felt really, really good. The truth is, for most of us, when that happened, it's when we were of service to somebody else. When we gave something away. When we saw a child smile. When we saw our spouse or our family overjoyed at some sacrifice that we had made for them, we felt good. I'm going to give you 4 more seconds to find the good, look for the good in you. I don't care if you have to go back 70 years. Find the good by looking for it, because it's there, because you are made of good. You are made for good. You are made with good. And if you're really having a hard time there, then find somebody else. And remember something that they did that was good. And when you find somebody else who is good, who has done good, who has been good, who has participated in good, this is important, tell them. That's how you start bringing the good to you. Because when you're honest with them and say, you know what? I know you don't think it meant very much to anybody, but when you did that, when you felt that, when you said that, when you expressed that, it made me feel so good. I wished I could do something like that. It made me feel good. The truth is, you don't have to look for somebody else, but if you're having a hard time, start there. Practice on them. Look for the good. Now, once you've got in touch with that particular feeling tone that just feels good, that feels grateful, that feels helpful, that feels like my life matters, that I mean something. Those are then the tools that you take on this quest when you're looking. You look for the good by looking with the good. Those then become the eyes with which you see everything. If you can start there, if you can start from a good feeling tone, and I don't care how far you have to go back to find it, if you can start there, the next thing that you see is going to be seen through those eyes and feel good. look for the good, look with the good, and know that you have everything you need inside of you already. And you didn't come here to get anything from anybody. You came here to release the good that is within you that we call life or source energy so that we could get along. Because the truth is, all of us are here at this time, at this point, at this place in human history for a divine purpose. It is no accident that this group of people are together at this time right now. It was divinely ordained and ordered. Deal with it. The people that came before had their experience. They had their opportunity. They had their time. We are here now at a time when there are more spiritually conscious human beings having a spiritual experience on the planet than at any other time in human history. There was a time when there was a greater percentage of us that were aware, but there have never been this many of us on this planet who are seeking the good, who want to make a difference. And then all of those other things that are happening out there, the stock market is volatile, the government is shut down, but that's two little things. There's a whole lot of good going on every day, every place on the planet. I was reading an article on the internet. A woman was crying because she couldn't buy her kids the Christmas gifts that she wanted. So she went to Target to see what she could buy on sale and on layaway. She went to the counter and the boy disappeared for a little while. And then he showed up and he said, "Mama, I want you to close your eyes." She closed her eyes. Another individual heard the conversation this woman was having with her kids and didn't buy gifts for the kids. He bought a winter coat for mom and allowed the boy to present his mom with a Christmas gift from him, and she had no idea where it came from. Now, believe it or not, things like that are happening all over the world. I just spend too much time watching CNN, which is constantly negative news. Good is happening all around you. And when you start to see with the good, and you start to feel with the good, and you start to look for the good with the good, then you take the good with you everywhere you go. But it's a practice. Because there are going to be people out there, there are going to be situations, circumstances that are going to challenge you. The truth is, she made the reference to being a sailor on the sea. If you're on the sea, you're not really a sailor if everything is always smooth sailing. But the truth is, most of the time, it's a calm sea. Throughout your day, throughout your week. And then these waves come up, which are incidents and people who work on our freaking nerves. And then that's all we see. It's as if we forgot we just had 17 hours of peace because one thing happened. So we have to, when we look for the good, we give more weight to the good than we do to those things that come up.